Skype Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine. Welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, I have to tell you something. I just noticed something in the intro tonight, and now I have a bone to pick with you.
Oh, shoot.
Why is your name first? Dude.
You know what? I was wondering that myself. I I guess it's because I'm Rick and you're not.
I guess so. Well, and you know who wrote the intro, right?
No.
The person whose name is second. And you know who recorded the intro?
Who?
The person whose name is Second's husband.
Oh, my gosh.
And well, this is it's good to be off the drugs, I guess. I'm starting to notice things.
Yeah, I mean, you got double billing, and I mean, or second billing, so. Oh, well, we can always change that.
That's all right. So, hey, we have Shannon Zilvia coming on tonight. A lot of people probably remember Shannon from Ghost Hunters International and from her new show, which is called Shantown, and it's on, oh shoot, I lost the network that it's on. Cheryl, pop on and tell me the network that it's on.
Well, it's called Shantown with Shannon and Jeff Zilvia on the Paranormal TV Network, which is www.paranormaltvnetwork.com. And I know that it's starting up again, I think it's next week, but Shannon can tell us for sure.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to Shannon. She's been a good friend to Paranormal Underground, and we've really enjoyed our association with her over the last couple of years.
Oh yeah, I've never seen the show though, so I need to get on that and check it out.
Yeah, definitely. So hey, after we talked to Bill Murphy last week from Fact or Faked, watched the show on Hulu, and wow, I should have watched that before. I just always forget about it because it's a new show. It's on Wednesday nights, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the show is, it's definitely one of the best, you know, programs I've ever seen. It, you know, taking all those, sorry, that's my dog barking in the background. You know, it takes, you know, if anybody hasn't seen it, which I'm sure most of everybody on here has, you know, it takes all these videos that they find on YouTube and then they pick them apart and then they're, you know, consider whether or not they want to go and do an investigation on it. And I think that that's definitely a very unique idea in the whole, you know, para-reality genre right now.
Oh, yeah, I really enjoyed it. And if you haven't seen it, you can check it out on Hulu. And sat one day and watched, you know, all of the shows in succession on Hulu, and I really, really enjoyed it. So, hey, I want to talk to Chad really quick. Chad, you want to turn on your mic?
Chad.
Hey, you guys have a big deal coming up here in just a couple of days. Are you getting excited?
Yeah.
Tell us what's going on.
We're going to Waverly Hill Sanatorium in Louisville, Kentucky, and it's going to be us and a couple of people from our website and the president of the group I was a part of in East Tennessee Paranormal Research Society, and you know, one of his friends are going to be there too, so I'm really looking forward to it.
And it's going to be freaking awesome, right?
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Waverly Hills Sanatorium is definitely one of those must go places for any paranormal researcher. I can't even tell you how lucky you are, Chad. I envy you.
Well,
right now
I've been there before. And it's just, out of all the different places I've been, it's probably the one that, you know, you can just feel it when you walk inside. It's just like the whole building's just pressing down on you. It's totally insane, you know.
I like that.
Well, any place that's had, you know, 60,000+ people die in it is, you know, chances are, I mean, even if 1% of them are actually stuck around and are haunting the place, then
They say 60,000. I think it's, somebody was saying it's more like 8,000, even though it's a lot of people.
But. Like 8,000 is a number that you need to pump up, you know?
Yeah.
I think having, you know, one person die somewhere, you don't need to pump it up more than that. I know you guys are really looking forward to that. So you guys are catching a plane and heading out for...
Yeah. We're leaving tomorrow, so it'll be this weekend. I don't want to give an exact date, but it's going to be this weekend.
Oh, you guys will have a great time. I'm excited for it.
Sorry, I wish she could be there, Karen.
I mean, oh, you think I don't? I totally wish I do. But, you know, this has been a summer where Karen hasn't been able to travel far.
Yeah.
And apparently, this has also been a summer where Karen has started referring to herself in the third person. So,
Jimmy can jump. Jimmy can dunk. Jimmy's going to put the moves on Elaine.
Well, cool, Chad. I hope you guys have a really good time. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So I saw Inception this week, Rick. Have you seen it yet?
You know what? I have not, but I'm going to admit something, that I am like a huge Leonardo fan. I think he's a great actor. I haven't seen it yet.
It will blow your freaking mind.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, totally. Jim, science geek, my husband, Jim, didn't think that he was going to like it. And so he's sort of been fighting me on going, and I finally corralled him and got him to go, and we walked out, and he said, you know, that is not at all what I thought it was going to be, and he just loved it. He sort of, you know how when you saw that very first Matrix movie back before they got into all the other schlock with the other movies, and mm-hmm. how that really challenged your perceptions of what was real and what wasn't?
Yeah.
Inception does the same thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Good movie. If you haven't seen it, I would highly recommend it.
I'm still kind of actually working on seeing Dinner for Schmucks, so I might actually see that before I see Inception.
Yeah, I saw Dinner for Schmucks, too. You know, I'm not somebody who goes to movies a lot either, but with the whole, just the health crap that I've had this summer, I've mm-hmm. gone to a lot of movies, and I really enjoyed Dinner for Schmucks. It was a good time.
Yeah, we really don't get a whole lot out to movies, you know, these days, but I'm kind of hoping that'll soon change. I think the last movie that we saw in theaters before Jamie got pregnant was How to Train Your Dragon, which was, you know, really good. It was funny, and it was thought-provoking, and, you know, it was just a really good movie.
Well, I will tell you this. You got a baby on the way. Dude, get to movies now, because you're not going to leave the house for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah. And then when we finally do, we're going to be, you know, seeing, like, the Barney movie and all that. Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
I hate Disney movies, but it's like I better start getting used, you know, used to them, so.
Oh, I am so happy that Tanner's 14 and out of that stage. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, some of the crap he watches now is pretty annoying, too, but.
Yeah.
But it's still not. Oh, God. Is Barney mm-hmm. even still on?
You know what? I think he has, you know, put a cult center somewhere out there in California. So I don't know if he's on. He has the cult now.
Hello? Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Oh. I bet my kids using the internet. I told them not to, but you know how these things are.
Oh yeah.
So Tanner had Tanner's my son, of course. He had freshman orientation. My son is going to be in high school this year. He had freshman orientation today. And I got to tell you, there's something different now about freshman orientation than there used to be. The second half of the day, they sat the kids down and had a sex talk with them.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, you say that now before the baby's here.
Oh, you know what? My 14-year-old nephew, he just entered his freshman year in high school. So I haven't had a chance to talk to him to see if they've had that yet.
Well, they have the sex talk like almost every year in school now, starting about fifth grade. As a matter of fact, I teach flute. That's one of the things that I do. And one mm-hmm. of my little flute students is a gal that we're friends with, their family, and she's always had this huge crush on Tanner. She's in the fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And she was over at my house one day, and we were feeding the kids pizza and stuff because I was just watching her after her lesson. And she called one of her little girlfriends on the cell phone. And her girlfriend, these are fifth graders, mind you now, and this Tanner was eighth grader. And mm-hmm. she calls her little girlfriend on the phone, and she says, "Tanner, my friend Brenda has something to ask you." And she puts it on speaker, and Brenda says to Tanner, "Do you have a condom on?"
That's awesome.
And I said, "Tanner's mom wants to know why somebody, a fifth grade girl, is asking my son on the phone why he has a condom on." So anyway, I was talking to this my flute student's mom about it later, and I was just telling her about it. She said, "Well, you know, that was the day they had the sex talk."
They grow up so fast these days.
Oh, isn't it charming?
It is.
God. You should be glad you guys aren't having a girl, I'll tell you.
You know what? I deal with 14 boys every day of the week, and I was really I've kind of like had it up to here with boys, and I was really hoping for a girl, but you know, the universe has decided to give me a little buddy, so it's all good.
Yeah, well, I just think that boys in the long run are kind of easier.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, but they're harder to potty train, from what I understand.
Yeah, Tanner went till he was almost 3, and it was, you know, me finally just saying, "You're going to do this, and you're going to do this now," and he's like, "Okay."
Karen, Tanner is going to murder you in your sleep tonight for putting that out over the air.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that. Well, you know, as long as he's not listening. Nobody tell him. I know that, you know, there are people in the chat room who will be seeing Tanner this weekend. Jamie, don't tell him I said that.
Oh, does he have friends here in the chat room here?
No, I do, but we're gonna see them this weekend. So, oh my gosh, you know, I try so hard not to be an embarrassing mother. I don't hug him in public. You know, if I drive him to school, I sort of drop him off several blocks away. You know, that kind of thing. I wear sunglasses when we're out in public, so nobody knows that he's with his mom.
And now you've managed to embarrass him on national, if not international, internet radio. Way to go, Mom.
I know. He says to me today, he gets home, and we're sitting in the kitchen, and he's telling me about his day at freshman orientation. And mm-hmm. he's talking about the gym at the high school. And he says, oh, my God, he says, the gym is so cool. They have all these banners up. And those banners, they go all the way back to 1994.
Oh, geez. I think I was 20 years old in 94.
Oh, I graduated in 84, so I'd been out of high school for 10 years.
Uh-huh.
So you're just a baby. It's okay.
Oh, yeah. 36 years old is a baby, definitely.
So we need to go to break here, I see. And when we come back, we are going to have Shannon and Sylvia. So we'll be back in just a minute.
See you then.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Station identification. You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network. Operating frequency on ztalkradio.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio, and the name of the song that you were listening to before we came back from break was Whiskey on the Mississippi by Kevin MacLeod. And tonight on this Thursday's edition of Creamy Paranormal Deliciousness, we have Shannon Sylvia. How you doing, Shannon?
I'm creamy what?
We've decided it's our new radio tagline, Creamy Paranormal Deliciousness.
Wow, that can be taken so many different ways. That's awesome.
I need two cigarettes after we're done doing the creamy paranormal deliciousness.
Oh, we can be talking about cake. We can be talking about many things. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you. It's an honor to be here back with you guys. You're one of my more favorite shows on the planet. So when Cheryl contacted me, I was delighted because, good positive vibes from you guys. And that's never a negative. So thank you.
Hey, and you're always welcome. You're always welcome to join us. So, hey, Shannon, let's talk a little bit first of all about Shantown.
Why not?
Okay.
So, Shantown,
I have yet to see
back.
It.
Thank you. That's awesome to hear. that's what every guest wants to hear when that's a topic of discussion. that's fine. I don't know what you look like, so I guess we're even. Well, we'll just inform him right now because he didn't do his homework. Shantown was the very first show ever to come out on Para-X that involved live and pre-recorded clips at the same time. It's a variety show. It's been knocked off a million times, but do a lot of comedy. I like to keep it fun, somewhat filthy, because there's no fun without some filth. And but no, it's just a freestyled show. I mean, if we say a swear, it's not like, oh my god, censoring.
Yeah.
And I also combine some clips. We have some regular clips every week, like Feed a Puppy, where people on Facebook would feed the oddest things that people can think of to my dogs. They choose what it is I should feed to the dogs, and then we videotape it, like mm-hmm. I did around Christmas time. I did candy cane flavored Pop Rocks. That was fun.
Ooh.
And fried eggs, nothing like seeing a fried egg dangling from a Jack Russell Terrier's mouth. And cotton candy, just fun stuff. And we had to can that because my dog almost died. Not from the food, but it was a surgery that was my fault, kind of, from something I fed him. But we have clips like Shantown Funnies where we have viewers submit the funniest signs that they've ever seen. Signs and funny billboards, stuff like that. We composite to music. We have guest stars. We have no interviews, really. It's just more like maybe on investigations, we pull the celebs over or the investigators over for some candid interviews. We don't do anything live for celebrities or any of that. It's all filmed out of my home. So,
well, can you find it archived?
Yeah. It's on peoplestvnetwork.com. And you want to click on Channel 1, and they have what's called On Demand once you go there. And when you click on On Demand Shantown, you can review a couple of the older episodes. We're bringing the new ones back. For instance, we've been done a lot of spoof filming. We have a spoof on Intervention, and that's all I'll tell you about that. It's going to be a 20-minute video. It's awesome. Oops, sorry. I'm just popping up the chat room right now, so I just had to mute that. You guys can hear me okay?
Yeah, hear you fine.
Uh-oh. What did I do?
You muted us instead of... She muted us instead of the chat room. She'll be back.
I did.
Oh,
yeah,
are
I'm the new webmaster, can you tell? I'm here.
Way to go, sister.
So what do I do? All right, let me just ask you. If I go back into your chat, is there a mute button that I can click on real quick?
Just click on... There's a picture of a radio. Click on the picture of the radio. It should go away.
Right, bear with me for 1 second while I do this, because I'm going to do it all over again.
Sure. No worries. Well, the show sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, what I like is that you do a little bit paranormal, and you don't take yourself too seriously. And as far as I'm concerned, that's good stuff.
I don't think you can take yourself too seriously when you're in this business, because you got to have a sense of humor. Otherwise, you're gonna come underneath the fire of all the skeptics, and they're gonna be like, "Wow, yeah. This person is really lame." So
okay, but yeah. how many pair of douchebags have you met that take themselves really seriously? I've met many.
Recently, yeah.
Roger Maris of Paranormal Investigators. I was watching 61 last night, and did you guys see that with Thomas Jane and Barry Pepper?
No.
They played Mickey Mantle. There was this one ball player, a very famous one, Roger, and he never smiled. He never did good interviews. He was not a personality, so everybody started to hate him after a while.
Roger Maris, wasn't that the guy that had his head cryogenically frozen or something?
No,
that was
Joe DiMaggio, isn't it?
Right, I think it was
Ted Williams.
It was Ted Williams. You're right.
Ted Williams. How bizarre is that?
Didn't Walt Disney have his head cryogenically frozen too?
No, that's a myth.
Is that a myth? Oh, yeah. Look at me buying into urban legend.
Urban legend. They say, though.
It's possible.
Okay.
Ew, I don't want my head frozen. That's just nasty. I mean, frostbite. You go out into the cold air and you get frostbite. I mean, what's your skin like after 30 years of liquid nitrogen?
Oh, God.
Can you imagine? Like, why would you want to come back looking like a raisin? It's stupid.
Well, maybe all of the really expensive face creams will actually do something to make you look younger by then. Hey, maybe in the next couple of years before I get too old, that'll happen.
Oh.
Well, living up here in northern Illinois is like being cryogenically frozen in the middle of February, so...
Bizarre. I'm going to try this chat again so I can say hi to everybody. I'm telling you right now that when I log in, I do not find this button where I can mute the chat.
There's down at the bottom, there's like all of these little... Oh, muting chat. Yeah, there's a speaker next to the radio. Oh. There's like all the smileys that run across the bottom, and then there's a little speaker.
I think you have to sign in before you can actually mute it. So after you sign in, you should be able to see it.
Here it is.
You're in! And I see your handsome husband was in chat.
Yeah, but it's still playing your show on top of it.
And there's no mute. Do you see smileys?
I gotta mute the radio behind it.
Did you mute the radio box?
I see you right there.
It comes up automatically with your chat page.
Huh. I don't know what to tell you.
It didn't matter.
Wow. So you're going to... Well, you can...
Yeah,
you know what we'll do, Shannon? We're going to try and take some calls from the chat. Or we're going to take some calls later so people
so
can...
Sorry. I honest to God, if anyone figures this out, just tell me exactly what to do. I can't mute that. When you pop up that page, it automatically starts playing the show, and I can't find a player.
Do you see a row of smileys running along the bottom of the chat window, Shannon?
And there's a little speaker, but that just mutes the chat. Your radio show that we're on now plays automatically when you enable that whole page.
I'm in there. There's not a radio that... there's not a radio... pictured between the speaker and the 8-ball?
I'll try it one more time. You guys must be thinking I'm absolutely insane.
Hey, this is, are you kidding me? This is riveting radio.
Oh, yeah.
What am I doing wrong? I mean, I've been doing radio shows for years and I can't figure this out. All right, let's look for the little icon one more time.
Yeah, but it's between the 8-ball and the speaker mic. It's like right in between those two.
Oh, that's a radio?
Yeah, it's a jukebox, I think.
Really? Is that what? Oh, that's what it is.
You've never
it works.
To... Yay!
That works. Right. But I have never in my life seen that icon before. Seriously, this is the first time I've ever seen that avatar. Okay, we're good.
All right.
I'm in there to get it, so you guys get some people in there. So I'm sorry for the delay. Hi.
Oh, that's okay. And now you're in chat and people will be happy to see you. But we're going to try and take a couple calls a little bit later, too. So, just a warning, we're not very good at the taking calls thing. So, that could also be riveting radio.
Well, here's a clue. The second you hear "you suck," just go ahead and disconnect that call and take the next one.
Oh my God, Shannon, I have an EVP that says "you suck."
For real?
Yeah. I was investigating it rather regularly now, as a matter of fact, and wrote a book about. And it's this demonic voice and "you suck." It's awesome. It's like the best EVP I've ever gotten. I love it.
Well, I got one recently. I was in a mansion in Delaware, and it was this is the oddest thing. Maybe we can actually talk about this since all of you are here, because it's really puzzling mm-hmm. me. I've got a chorus of people, men and women's voices, saying, and I could probably email you the MP3 if you wanted to air it or something, but...
Yeah, send it to Cheryl.
And it was actually a little bit of a lag, which is kind of creepy. Why don't you guys PM me that email address real quick? I'll send you the EVP clip, and it says men and women all at the same time saying, "Shannon, Sylvia, we don't want you here." And I'm like, oh my God.
Wow, okay, that's awesome.
And like you said, there's a little bit of lag, so they're all saying it. They're all saying the same thing at the same time, but it's not perfect. It's bone-chilling, and it's of course I booked that mansion again. I'm going back. It's like, okay, well, that's just going to make me want to go even more.
What's the name of the mansion?
Rockwood Mansion in Wilmington, Delaware. And it's an absolutely gorgeous place. This was a summer home for a wealthy family, and on many, many acres of beautiful, beautiful land. And the place is just all the original furniture still there. The original wedding dress of the owner's daughter. It's like a museum. But oh my God, is it stunning! And for the first time ever, a team went in there, which they contacted me and said, "Please come." And we got some amazing EVP, so I'll go ahead and shoot that over to you, and you can listen to it. It's actually pretty good. It really should air pretty well. It's a good Class A.
Awesome.
We'll see what you can do with it.
Yeah, clear as crystal, right?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's
those
creepy.
Are the best.
Now, have you guys ever heard of an EVP where you had men and women voices at the same time?
Yeah, I know a guy who actually captured one at the same place that we got the "You Suck" EVP from, and it has like multiple voices. It's a place where an avalanche happened, and you hear this snap, and you hear this rumbling, and then you hear multiple voices, like people crying and kids crying, and you hear people like just kind of people, you know, a bunch of men and women's voice, and then at the end it says, "Avalanche, let's get out." It's one of the most amazing EVPs I've ever heard.
Wow.
It's just...
That's like, that's kind of...
It's awesome.
It's got to be like a residual echo or something.
See, that's what I'm thinking, a residual, because it's obviously a replay of that very moment that was trapped in time, but the difference between that one and the one I'm sending you is all the voices simultaneously at the same time saying the same thing.
Saying Shannon, so yeah, that's true. It's like Shannon, Sylvia,
we don't want you here. And I'm like, okay.
maybe they were having like choir practice, and that's the song you're singing.
Yeah, no coincidence.
They were having a convention.
We hate Shannon, Sylvia convention or something.
The dead hate me even more than the living do. That's just great. That's just so. I'm done. Nobody likes me.
I like you, Shannon.
Just kidding.
Yeah, Shannon, you're
I'm all right.
We like you.
I joke around. I just heard that I'm being spoofed on by the Stew, so I'm excited. Why? It's almost like being on Saturday Night Live, but not really. You know.
You know when I think that you've really made it is when South Park spoofs you.
Oh my God! Yeah, when Jason and Grant really upset that they were spoofed on, I'm thinking, are you kidding me?
Oh, somebody was making a big deal out of it. Were they upset, Shannon?
Yeah, they were upset.
Oh, I thought they made it.
They weren't really.
I would consider that a badge of honor.
Yeah, most you have to laugh at yourself, even if you're disgusted inside. You have to laugh. Just put up their poker face because seriously, like if South Park spoofs you or Family Guy, you are made, and you never have to work another day in your life. I would love for South Park to spoof me, please. I don't care what they do. I'd be like, yeah, like I'm Shannon Sylvia. They're spoofing me. But yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's like, that's totally, you've made it. So,
yeah, boy, that'd be fun.
Hey, Cheryl, did you get the EVP, Cheryl? Did Shannon send it yet?
Yeah, I have it, and I'm going to load it up and see if we can get it playing. It'll probably be another few minutes.
Awesome. Okay,
you know what? first. Just hear it first, get a feel for it, and then play it.
Oh, no, we'll just do it live.
Okay.
It's flying with it out of there.
Just do what you want.
Does it have any F-bombs in it?
No.
We're good.
Oh, we're fine. Not that one.
You know, Shannon, on a previous Thursday, we were talking about some of the EVPs that I've captured, and I actually had one where it was an intelligent spirit, and he called me an a-hole, and that was like the best EVP I have ever heard in my life.
Oh yeah, when they hate you, it's great.
Isn't it suck when you don't find out until you get home and you're reviewing it? It's like, oh man, like if you only knew earlier. Yeah.
I know, because then you can say, like, you suck too. I don't want you here.
You have so much fun with that. It'd be like a conversation all night long.
I know you are, but what am I?
It's like, show yourself, pussy. You know, you just go back and forth, but unfortunately, we don't hear about that until weeks later. That's why I'm going back to the mansion. I'm going to be like, I'm going to just totally F with them. Like, okay, well, hey, you don't want me here, so what are you going to do about it? You know? I don't know. Well, I mean, Christ, I'm bringing people into their homes, spending money, looking at their gorgeous things that they don't own anymore. I mean, we're not disrespecting anybody. That's what was killing me. It was actually a very questions. I'm pretty insulted, actually.
You know, my theory about that is that I think that ghosts like to mess with people, and I think that that's sometimes how they do it, is, you know. And right. And people who are a little more seasoned, like you are, you know, it takes a little more to get you, so they have to...
It takes a little more to get me. That's priceless. I don't know. I don't think they've seen any investigators in there, so it was probably disturbing to them to see people in the middle of the night wandering their home, you know, touching their belongings, and they just simply didn't want anyone in there. You know, that's hence 99.9% of EVPs out there are get out. A big surprise.
Yeah, really. Well, you know, but a lot of people like to do, like, the opening when they go in just to ask permission to go in. It's not something that I do or that I necessarily think is necessary, but I know a lot of people who investigate like to do some kind of an opening so that they can say, hey, can we come wave things at you and take your picture? All that.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I do need to take that into consideration more. I forget to introduce myself sometimes and say we're here to communicate with you. I usually just go right for the meat and potatoes.
Well, apparently they knew who you were, so it's all right.
Yeah,
hey, Cheryl has that loaded up.
Oh, yeah, let's listen to that.
Cheryl!
All right, you guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay, Shannon, did you want to say anything more about this clip before we play it?
Yeah, let me tell you about the scenario. Okay. Ironically, what makes this even creepier was that in this mansion, they had a typical Victorian viewing room. When somebody passed away in the family, they would lay out the body in a coffin and have the visitors come to the house and view the body, just like a wake. And then they dispose of the body. Well, this one room, I had meandered off while a group was on the next floor up. I had this entire floor by myself. I like to do that when I have large groups. I left it up to the tour guides and the others to walk around. I had my recorder on, and... I was walking around very quietly from room to room. I like to sit and observe and do some my own EVPs. In this scenario, I'm walking into the room. I'm looking at a bookshelf which had original old 100-year-old books, and I'm looking at the titles to see if they're authentic, and they were. And then I walk out. Another team who sent me this EVP, Prismed out of Maryland, had a tape recorder set up. His name is Jim Gray, and it was running in that room all night long. I didn't know that. So they actually caught this EVP. They said, you were in that room by yourself, weren't you? And I said, how'd you know? Nobody knew where I was. Nobody. I didn't tell anyone, not even my husband, where I was. And they said, because we heard someone come in very quietly and then leave about 2 minutes later, and this is what we caught. So when you play it, this is the result of what they got.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to turn up the volume a little bit, so just so everybody can prepare for a little bit of higher volume, and let's go ahead and play it.
I heard Shannon Sylvia right at the beginning, right?
Or yeah, pretty close to the beginning. Sylvia, we don't want you here. Where is she? And as you can see, it sounds like male and female and a bunch of different people, and it's not perfectly synced.
And it's long.
Oh. It's long.
It is, because there's a lot of inaudible. They keep talking. And there, nobody was, I mean, I was in there like a church mouse, tiptoeing in and out, and they just keep talking, and I need to make out the rest of what they're saying. But they're all now talking. When someone says, "Where is she?" you hear chatter amongst the others. It might be wise to play it again, so that now...
Yeah, we will.
Yeah.
Okay.
We beat EVPs to death on this show. We played 3-4 times, yeah. You know.
I definitely think that those spirits wanted to have a piece of you, Shannon. I mean,
thanks. Thank you. Love you too.
A piece of your creamy... They wanted a piece of your creamy paranormal goodness.
I had to change that on my Facebook.
Okay, let's hear it again.
All right.
Creamy paranormal goodness.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I definitely, it's almost like there's an echo. It almost says Shannon, Sylvia, and there's like a little echo almost in there of it. Wow, that's a pretty cool one.
I can't figure out the echo because the room is so small and so furnished with carpeting. I can't imagine where the echo is coming from. It's a mansion that's furnished.
Only that, but why would something without vocal cords echo?
Right, yeah.
It is bizarre. It's unaltered. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. This one's unique compared to the others I'm used to.
That's
somebody in the chat has a good point. You can play it backwards. I haven't done that yet. I just recently acquired this, but Heidi doesn't hear anything other than Shannon Sylvia, but if you do listen carefully, you'll hear, "We don't want you here." And then there's a little bit of a lag. And then you can hear, "Where is she?" real quick. And
I heard the "Where is she?" Yeah. So
I heard the whole thing.
Have you manipulated it yet? Have you filtered anything out, or is that the EVP? No. Is that that's
exactly how it was cropped and then emailed right to me, so I could hear it. I have not touched it.
Yeah, I would. Oh. I would do a little filtering and stuff to see if I could do it.
I don't have the time. I encourage you guys to do it, or somebody. But
oh, I will. I will. Yeah, I'll have Cheryl send it to me, and I'll filter it for you.
I would. Yeah, I'd worship the ground you walk on if you want to do that, because I have so much to go through with all the cases. I mean, when I do events and cases, I actually record myself all night long.
I do too.
Mm-hmm. I keep the recorder on the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, you got to. And so not only am I trying to lead groups around and make sure everyone's happy and teach them what to do, but I do a lot of EVPs. So for me to catch up is next to impossible.
So let's listen to it one more time.
Yep.
So what you're listening in the chat room, or if you're just listening, what you're listening for is Shannon Sylvia, "We Don't Want You Here," and "Where Is She?" You know what's interesting, Shannon, is that I've had some captures before, too, where that echo is. That I've captured that echo before, that where it's like, but it's like somebody I'm talking to or me talking, and there's a voice that lags like about a second behind me saying exactly the same thing, a different voice, saying exactly the same thing I do.
A different voice. That's what we have here. It's not the same voice.
Yeah, well, I've gotten that, like, when we're just sitting and talking sometimes, because sometimes ghosts like to butt in when you're having a conversation, and they echo exactly what you say, like, a second behind you, and it's just, or not even that, like, just a split second behind you. It's really bizarre.
Well, let me ask, I'm sorry I interrupted. I was just going to say, Shannon, let me ask you something. I mean, how does something like that make you feel? Pardon me, I have, you know, psychology and all that. How does something like that make you feel? Does that make you feel disturbed?
Tell me how you feel about that.
Yeah.
Tell Dr. Fine. I don't need therapy.
No, I'm not suggesting that. I'm just, I've been told that I do, but, how do you feel about that?
I'm actually, I'm more intrigued when it's more personal like this, because when they start using your name, it really captures your attention. It makes you wonder, like, these are really intelligent beings we're dealing with here. Obviously not residual.
Right.
which makes me more intrigued to go back because now they're communicating on purpose. And I, again, because the personalization, because my name is involved, we don't want you here. You know, you think in the beginning, for a split second, like, why not? Why me? Because it was, 30, 40 other people there. Mm-hmm. Really, why me? I mean, I did step into that room at that very time by myself, so that makes sense. But there were a lot of other people that went into that room too that night that didn't get called out. But again, you know, it maybe give me one half of a sleepless night, but yeah. You move on and just look forward to going back in there and seeing if you can get something else like that again. Yeah. You know, I'm not afraid by any means. This was a wealthy family that had a beautiful opportunity to own this home, and are you kidding me? This place is gorgeous, and there's mm-hmm. no negative or demonic activity going on. It's just a family that probably just wants everyone to butt out. They might have right. loved this home. And, again, I don't go in there with any disrespect. So when I go back in November, I'll let them know. I mean no disrespect. I know that you guys spoke to me. You spoke to other people as well. I mean, this isn't the only EVP that we got, just mm-hmm. in that nature, yes. But we'll just talk to them a little bit and just let them know, look, you know, you've passed on and we're just trying to learn about you. Right. We want to learn about you. And a family this flamboyant with their wealth, I don't think would offend them if we told them that we want to learn more about them in their afterlife, because they were obviously all about showing what they had. And they weren't introverts at all if you look at their house. So, we'll be fine. I'll be fine. Nothing's going to follow me home.
Yeah, follow me home. Sometimes it does.
Yeah. Well, my wife always says to me before I go out on an investigation, it's like, have fun. Don't bring anything home with you.
Yeah, easier said than done.
Really.
You least expect it. At least expect it. In the weirdest places, too, if it does happen. But that's so rare.
Mm-hmm. Are you still in your haunted schoolhouse?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I haven't moved out or put it up for sale. It's probably worth nothing now at this point.
No, people like haunted now. It's a golden ticket, haven't you heard?
Yeah. True, it's a fad. We do have a condo downstairs that's for rent. It's really nice and pretty affordable, too, considering I live right outside of Boston. If anyone's interested, coming to New England, it's $900 a month. I'm here, and actually we have a guest staying with us tonight. I met him, was it Rockwood Mansion? This very same, I think I met him that night. You know what? I met him the night before at Eastern State Penitentiary, and that was in Philly. And he said, I'm going to be around for a couple days. He said, then come 45 minutes away tomorrow. I'm having an event in Delaware. He said, that's 10 minutes from where I grew up. So he came the next night. We became fast friends. And he's just passing through town from Vermont on his way to Delaware to go see his kids again. And I said, you know, you don't need to stay in a hotel. Stay here. And, the rest is history there.
How's the haunting in the house? Is it still pretty active? Still pretty much same stuff? Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to do some recordings tonight. It's spontaneous. It's just completely spontaneous. We never know what to expect. Everyone that tends to stay here, Patrick and Marley love to do EVPs here, Patrick Burns. Everybody that has stayed here has reported hearing something, thank God. And it's usually really late in the middle of the night between 4 and 5 a.m. You'll hear giggling. That's a really common thing. Mm-hmm. You'll hear somebody shuffling across the hardwood floors downstairs when there's nobody up. And everybody reports the same thing. And it usually involves with a young girl voice. And that's still kicking around. There's a woman that is part of our show on Tuesday nights called Up for Discussion. Her name is Gail. And Gail has some talents. She's not willing to admit it, but I think she's a medium. She sees spirits. Mm-hmm. She tells me all the time about the spirits that she sees. And one weird thing happened last week. Gail's been coming here for a year, and she always sees the spirit of a school teacher, a woman in the bathroom. I think that might have been where her desk was when this was an old school, because you can see where all the children's chairs and, one of the kids in the chat room, Smiley Mike, has slept over here several times. Saying that's what I heard about 4:30 a.m. giggling. I forgot that Smiley Mike stays here all the time. It's like Hotel Sylvia. That's what we call it. My friend Gail saw a woman in the bathroom. All this that you can see in the original hardwood floors that we still have to this day from the 1800s, where the children's chairs and desks were bolted into the floor. They used to nail them in back then so they wouldn't move. And they're in rows on my floors that we currently have, and you can tell which direction they faced. That was a motorcycle going by. I live on Main Street. Sorry, guys.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe that was like your ghost in the background or something.
She had bean burritos for dinner.
It's funny. I did go to the
Mexican restaurant. Way to go, Rick. Yeah, way to go, Rick.
That was just a motorcycle zooming by. I'm so immune to it now. At this point, I don't even hear it anymore. what I was saying is I think that might have been the school teacher's desk or her area, because this woman that keeps coming over sees her in the bathroom, long black dress, her hair is pinned back in a bun, and she has a very high collar, very reminiscent of the early Victorian era. Mm-hmm. School teachers, like, hello, split the hair down the middle.
Yeah.
Well, a friend of hers comes over the house. She's a comedian. She was on last week, and she's like 6 feet tall, and she's a really attractive woman, and she's worked with names like Rodney Dangerfield and Adam Sandler, you know, a big act. And she comes over, and she comes out of the bathroom. She goes, "Do you have a ghost in there?" And we just started laughing. I'm like, "Where did you get that from?" She goes, "I swear I just saw something in there." And Gail's looking at me with eyes the size of saucers. And I said, "Yeah, you know, like they're all over the place. The whole condo has whatever comes through. I never see them, but some certain talented individuals that come and go do."
Interesting. Yeah.
Do you think that maybe
they don't eat much?
Do you think that maybe you have, like, you know, a portal that's in your place?
No. You know, I don't. It's hard to say. How would I know? You know.
Right.
You know, it could have been opened up by God knows who in the basement with God knows what Ouija board. I mean, that's a whole other topic. But this was a school. There's so much history in this building. First of all, it's a brick building, so it's made of natural elements, maybe trapping in more stuff than we think. Mm-hmm. In the 1700s, it's a site, of course, I know we went through this before, but a lot of people are hearing this for the first time. It's the site of our town's first fire station. A lot of history in that fire station. I mean, you had men, you had emotions, you had exhaustiveness. I mean, you had
men
a lot
don't
of
men. Have emotions.
We're totally emotionless, right, Chad?
Robots, all of you.
That's awesome. I take that back. They have an emotion. They have a feeling. When the fire station needed to expand, so they went down the street and built another, and it's still there to the day. And they converted it to an old schoolhouse in the 1800s, and it was an old school until the late 1980s. That's when they converted it to condos in 89. So when they keep the original brick up, the original high beams, the original hardwood floors, we've got a lot of stuff here going on. And everybody in the building experiences something. It's not just me. Everybody. And people have moved out because of it. I know of two tenants personally that have moved out because of the ghost problems, too, and they were both women. I've heard reports all from women and one male. I'm sorry, two males. One of them has passed away in this building after telling me that. It was just natural causes. He wasn't a healthy guy. Yeah. But it's interesting. You know, I love it here. It's beautiful. If you guys go back to the movie Ghost with Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze, it looks like her apartment did. That hardwood floor with the big glass windows.
Oh,
I have a big spiral staircase that goes up into the loft where there's a big bedroom and bathroom up there. You know, it's a neat place, and people say all the time, why don't you move out? Like, why would I want to drain my bank account and try to afford something else when I love this place now?
Yeah.
It's beautiful, it's historical, it's peaceful, except for Main Street. It's a cheap payment, and we're happy here so far.
It's just a ghost. It's just a, you know, I am not afraid of ghosts. The only thing I don't like about ghosts is when they wake you up in the middle of the night. I do not like being startled.
Yeah.
That's the only time that I actually get a little nervous about being in a haunted place is if I have to sleep in it.
Yeah.
Well, I've got to say, that was actually a really big problem around the time he called Paranormal State. I was not sleeping anymore. I'm not kidding you when I said that. It was really irritating. The activity that was happening before they showed up was nauseating. It was every night, it was a lot of banging on walls. And there were times I would hear the walls. You guys remember the original Nightmare on Elm Street when Freddy comes through her ceiling?
And
his face gets stretched down. You hear that noise. I've heard that noise before here. And I heard what sounded like my whole bedroom wall was being suctioned in. And I'll never forget it. And it was actually creaking. And I'm like, what the hell is going to happen? And I'm looking at it, and I can't see anything happening. So I bolt out my door, and I look on the other side of the wall, and there's nothing going on. You know, that's disturbing crap. And that's there's only been a very, very, very slight few instances where I was actually that terrified in my own home.
Yeah, you know, Shannon, I wanted to ask you about.
we had a lag on Skype. Sorry about that. We weren't trying to interrupt you. Go ahead, Rick.
No, I wanted to ask you about that paranormal state. Personally, I don't really care for the show, but I was watching that episode, and it came on, and it was you and, you know, your husband. And it was right about the time that you were on GHI, and I thought that was rather strange. I mean, what?
Yeah.
Did you kind of like want to get a second opinion, or you know, what was going on in the house, or okay?
Yeah, I did. I mean, it's very simple. I was actually already investigating a few years now with Steve Gonzalez's team, the home team, New England Paranormal. When Paranormal State came here, they knew I was a ghost hunter. They knew that TAPS members had been here. It wasn't Jason and Grant, but it was TAPS members that had investigated it from the Massachusetts team, and they kept coming back with more of Steve's team. So I was already working with them, and they were getting great EVPs, but nobody was telling me what was going on here. I needed somebody to do some research. I had actually gone down to my local library and talked to the historian, and she pulled out this big-ass book. I mean, huge book, and it was so thick and dusty and old. And it was from my building when it was a school. It was records.
Oh,
and
cool.
All the records it was. I mean, wow. I mean, the coolest thing. It was like the never-ending story, you know, when the kid pulls out the book.
Yeah.
And but all the records were written in calligraphy, so elaborate I couldn't read anything, and it was all in pencil. Because they didn't have ballpoint pens in the 1800s. So I was like, oh my God, I can't read this. I couldn't make anything out, so I couldn't verify if there was a death in my building. I couldn't verify anything. I was useless. So I got the call, if you know, do you want people to come in and bring in professional equipment that I had never seen before and research your building? I jumped. I'm like, yes, please. I need to know. Now, they were one. Paranormal State told me that my building was a fire station. I didn't know that until 2007 when they came here. No clue.
Oh, cool.
I didn't know. That explained why 16 years ago when I moved in, the old woman in the basement used to see a fireman. And we never knew why. We never knew why. We thought he was attached to her somehow, but now we know it used to be an old fire station. So there was a lot of advantages to coming here, except for Paranormal State edited out the fact that I was a ghost hunter, edited out the scenes of me sitting showing them the EVPs that we captured from other teams. They could have gone one way. They could have gone with she's a ghost hunter, wants more answers way, which Ryan Buell has admitted publicly that that's what he thought was going to happen. Mm-hmm. But they went the other way. Like she's a scared homeowner. That was a scare. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it really did seem like it could have been something that hurt your credibility.
Yeah, it did. I mean, stupidly it did. Thank God that Ryan stepped up and said, you know, she's fine. You know, we knew about this when we went in.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. They still call me every year to follow up on the cases, which I do commend. They do. I mean, they've called me 3 times since the filming of the show to see how it goes, and I tell them every time, hey, it's still here. You guys are welcome back anytime. I don't regret what I did with them because, again, I found out more of the history of my building, and when they did come in, they could hear the heavy breathing that we sometimes hear, and it wasn't a wash. Some people translated it as really weird, the circumstances, and hey, they decided to air that episode a year later. So it aired the same week as GHI. If they had aired it a year earlier, it wouldn't have been a big deal. But
I always sort of thought it was much ado about nothing anyway. But I know a lot of people were really on it.
Oh, they'll just find anything on you to hate you. I mean, really.
I know. It's the paradouches.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I call them the paradouches. That's right. I think I even blogged about paradouches. Hey, we're going to go to break in a minute, Shannon. I actually had Cheryl load up that You Suck EVP for you to listen.
Awesome.
I know. I just figured I'd play it for you because it's kind of cool. And then we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to take some calls. We're going to try to take some calls.
Awesome.
Fingers crossed. So, Cheryl, you want to pull up that EVP?
Yep. I've got it ready. Yep. Okay. Here we go.
how many names do you want?
Wait, was that it?
Was this one? No, that wasn't
what?
It.
What was that? What was that?
Okay, Karen? We'll do it after the break.
That's what you sent me.
Oh, I sent you the wrong one. We'll do it after the
Alrighty,
break.
Alrighty, send
so
it.
So let me give out the phone number. Let me find the phone number. So if you want to call us, what's going to happen is you'll call in and you'll be connected and you'll hear us talking. If you're a caller, if you could just sit tight until one of us says, hey, caller, then that would be great. But if you have questions for Shannon after the break, you can call during the break. Phone number is 714-646-4197. Okay, and we will be back in just a minute.
Just.
This is Karen Frazier, founder of the Namaste Project. Several months ago, I was really struggling with a number of people in my life. I got tired of being angry all of the time. One day I was driving home thinking about how I could stop being angry when the words, the Namaste Project, popped into my head. In that moment, I understood that every person, even the ones who made me angry, had a light of the divine in them, and if I could just find that light in every person I encountered, then my world would be a better place. The Namaste Project was born. Now I'm inviting you to join me. Visit namasteproject.org to learn how you can change your world. Change happens one person at a time. I hope you'll join me. That's namasteproject.org.
Hi, everyone. It's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
station identification.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com.
All righty, and we're back. So Cheryl, I while we were on break, I sent Cheryl the right clip for the EVP.
Yay.
So you ready, Wait. Shannon?
Yeah, I'm dying. Let's
okay.
do it.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go. Did you hear it?
You hear it?
Play it like 20 more times.
It's more towards the middle of the clip. If it's about, it's not. It's really short. But
turn it up a little bit.
Turn it up.
Too.
Okay.
You
okay.
can hear it.
Let me play it again once. How about
I
that?
I love that voice. You suck.
Yeah.
You suck.
I don't know what it was, but boy, it didn't like me much that day.
Well, at least you can sort of date the EVP. I mean, that term really wasn't thrown around until the mid-century there, 19-something, so, I mean...
Yeah, yeah.
You're not dealing with some Victorian dickhead or something, you know what I mean?
I don't know, unless they've listened to modern folk and have gotten, you know, the modern folk lingo. We get some of the weirdest, you know, you just get some of the weirdest stuff on recording. Sometimes you get things like asshole or you suck. I don't know what to tell you. So I'm going to give out the contact number again. I have to look it up. It's 714-646-4197, or you can Skype us at Ghost Night Media. Is that right, Cheryl, or are we just Ghost Night Media?
And, yes, we are. Sorry about that.
Yeah, yep. So you can, if you want to call in and talk to Shannon, you can also ask us questions if you don't want to call. You can ask us questions in the chat room, and even though Shannon is chatting in the chat room, we can pass them on, too.
Yep.
So you like my You Suck EVP, huh? Isn't that
I love
awesome?
It.
So now, go ahead.
I'm just saying it's funny. I mean, honestly, you must have just died laughing when you caught that. Like, no way.
I was like, yeah. what was I going to ask you? Oh, so last time we talked, you were doing some stuff with demonology. Now, are you still doing that?
No, I never really was, actually, to tell you the truth. No.
Okay. Oh, no, no. Maybe it was in the context of...
I might have been reading a book about it because it's just my friend wrote it, but
maybe we were talking about Bobby Mackey's. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, and I've done it, I think, once or twice since I've last been here, and I'm going to be doing it again in November. But I don't want to go there with demonology. It's a fad thing right now. But I've always said this in the past year or two, I have no desire to delve into that kind of deep of a case. I'm not experienced. I'm learning how to do fondant and cakes, so that's pretty harmless and drama-free, tell you the truth.
So do you love that show, that Amazing Wedding Cakes, then, where they do all the stuff with the fondant, the rolled fondant?
And uh-huh. Yeah, like Cake Boss and Eat the Cakes. He won't let me watch it, just like I won't let him turn on ESPN in front of me, so we're even. but I sneak a peek when he's in the bathroom or something and find out what they're doing.
My wife and I, we watch a lot of those cake shows. I like them. They're pretty good.
It's like Deadliest Catch. I mean, you watch Deadliest Catch and you start craving crab legs. I can't mm-hmm. watch a cake show and then not want cake the next day. It sucks. I can't stand it.
So fondant can be a little tough to work with. So kudos to you to work it out.
4.5 hours to make 4 4-inch cakes. At 2 days, I it's terrible. I just, you know what? Just in the 2 days I was making the practice case, I learned what to do and what not to do, and I will get better at it. I hate my rolling pin, and I went out and bought all new cake pans today.
Awesome.
You learn. I don't have anyone giving me lessons. I'm not taking lessons. I'm being thrown into this job, so mm-hmm. I have to learn on my own how to do it, and that's the best way to go. The demonology thing. No, not my cup of tea. Would I do a demonic case only if somebody more experienced was on it with me, but I wouldn't go in there with all guns blazing trying to deal with that crap on my own.
So, go ahead, Rick.
I was just going to say, Shannon, I've done like three cases where I'm dealing with, you know, I don't like to use the term demonic. I like using the term inhuman because I'm not a Christian. But, you know, it's definitely something when you're dealing with, you know, something that doesn't rely upon you as an energy source.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And it's definitely more violent. But as far as Bobby Mackey's is concerned, and I've driven past Bobby Mackey's because my mom is from that area of Kentucky. I really don't think that those are demons or inhumans per se. I think that those are just a couple of douchebags who murdered some chick back in the 1800s and, you know, want to take their anger out on everybody.
I got to tell you, I have to tell you before you answer this, I think this is the first time that we've ever interwoven demonology and fondant and cupcakes into one.
Isn't that great?
Creamy goodness of a paranormal radio show.
That's why it's creamy paranormal goodness.
I am so excited about that. I just Thank can't God. Even tell you.
Some people have been asking me where the hell that came from, and now I have a reason to tell them.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead, Shannon, with what you were going to say.
I'll be like, well, they asked what I've been up to. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Bobby's, you know, it's impossible to actually identify what's going on there, but I have a hard time believing it's Alonzo and Scott Scott Walling actually haunting that place, because they didn't commit the murder there. They committed mm-hmm. the murder somewhere else. So why would they be linked to Bobby Mackey's is beyond me. I know that they fraternized there. There have been many reports of green glowing eyes, including reports from extremely close friends of mine that would never lie to me. And I can't put my finger on that. Okay, that's weird. We hear growling all the time in the basement. A weird growl. We pick it up on the thing. It's not an animal because we scour the place. You would hear an animal scurrying. I can't put my finger on the growling, not to mention the numerous people that I've witnessed, like, picked up and thrown against the wall, clawed, slapped, scratched. Okay, there's something nasty down there. If it was demonic, people would be damaged a lot more than they are now. Now, I had a whole entire crowd of 30 people all at once smell sulfur in the middle of the dance floor when we were praying. And that is bizarre. Like, what is the reason for that? It's not like someone was just randomly lighting a match.
No, but if my husband was there, I would have been able to give you an explanation for both the growling and the sulfur smell.
Oh, boy. I know where that's going to come from.
Beans, cursed magical fruit.
I'm sorry, move on.
I'm just saying, it's bizarre. I mean, we get EVPs of a woman moaning, we get crying, we get a young girl talking. Like, we have a whole plethora of things going on there. And I do think that it is very possible that Bobby Mackey's may have portal activity going on.
Yeah, I would love to go to Bobby Mackey's. Hey, Cheryl and Chad are going to Waverly here in a couple of days, Shannon.
Really?
Yeah.
First time?
Chad's been there before. This is Cheryl's first time.
My first time. I'm so excited.
You're going to be scared.
lucky.
I'm already
scared.
Is Waverly
scary?
It is the first time, not so much the second.
What is it? Is it scary activity-wise, or is it just scary in that imposed building kind of way?
It's a creepy, scary building. It's more of the architecture that scares you than the stuff going on. And they do have a lot of Halloween props on the first level, and mazes built for their theme thing. So when you go through some of that and see it, it's startling. You know, they filled up, I'm very disappointed the second time around, they filled up the morgue rooms with props and furniture and stuff to clean out the other floors. So I was like, wow, that just totally took away all the scariness. But I think the first time around, it's definitely the Holy Grail. For people that haven't been to too many other creepy buildings for, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, like creepy factors of 9.
Yeah.
There's something that's preventing it from being a 10, but it's up there.
So do you have a favorite? What's your 10? What is the place
no one's
for
ever
you?
Asked me that
before. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Well, I'm such an original. Hey,
can we talk about it?
Can I at least ask you what your favorite place is?
Tuck your tail between your legs and go away. I'm just kidding. In this country, you mean?
Anywhere you've been.
Yeah.
You know, Bobby Mackey's. I keep saying it. It's always Bobby Mackey's. I know that place like the back of my hand. This will be my 9th or 10th time going back, and every single time is like the first time for me. it's scary. It's creepy. When you start hearing the growling or people getting clawed up, and I bring in hypnotists. It's interesting. During my events, they start putting people into regression. And I had a grown man cry 10 feet in front of me over what happened to him in the basement that his own wife didn't even know about and that he didn't even know about when he was awake. But the stuff mm-hmm. started coming out when he was under and how terrified he was. We felt so bad we had to take him out. She had to wake him up and tell him that he wasn't going to remember any of that because it was just bizarre. Mike from the chat, Smiling Mike, was there and he was put under. And he'll say the same thing. These women brought something out of him that he didn't even know about, and it was really bizarre. Most of the people that were put under hypnosis were having experiences in the basement that they didn't even know about when they were awake. Something about the place, man. It's just eerie. It's eerie. And you can tell who's under by looking at the rapid eye movements in their eyes. And mm-hmm. The ones that weren't under, you could tell because they weren't doing the same thing. And you knew they were under. You just knew. Their heads are slumped over and they're breathing slow and they were in La La Land. So, I don't know. But that place gives me the creeps.
You know what I always thought was funny about Bobby Mackey is that after all the credible eyewitnesses and after all the stuff that people have reported in his, he still says, I don't believe it.
Uh-oh.
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I had a complete, I lost you guys. You were talking about something about Bobby's and then you disappeared.
Yeah, I was asking about Bobby Mackey, about all the experiences that people have had. He's had numerous people in there investigating the joint.
Yeah.
And yet he still says, I don't really believe that there's anything, you know, going on in my place. I mean, that to me, that goes beyond skepticism to pure, you know, cynicism and denial.
Well, he has admitted to one very strange occurrence the very first time he ever stepped foot in that place happening uh-huh. that he can't explain. He's just a natural-born skeptic, you know? I mean, they're out there. And he thinks as much as he loves to promote the stuff going on, as much as he loves the paranormal investigators coming in and spending their money and investigating the place, he personally just says, you know what, if this is what you all believe, then God bless you.
Yeah.
But he won't come out and say that his place is haunted. He's more like, if this is what you believe, then have fun with it. Mm. He's mm-hmm. a very old-fashioned gentleman. You know,
well, he certainly seems that way. I come from a Southern family, so I understand his skepticism. And
I love him. He's actually a sweet guy. You know, he's a friend, and I don't think, you know, he doesn't mean any harm. It is just the way it is. It is the way it is. I'd rather see that kind of demeanor than someone that comes forward. Look at me. My place is haunted. Come here and investigate. Spend your money. And a guy that contacts every news station and a guy mm-hmm. that contacts every ghost hunting show to get them there. There's one place in particular in Pennsylvania where that's going on. And it's obnoxious, you know,
yeah.
like somebody that wants to exploit the place. Here you've got Bobby that wants to be known for his country music and still plays every Saturday night on his own stage since 1978 and hasn't missed a weekend. And he's all about the music and people having fun two nights a week. He could care less about the hauntings, but they happen to be there.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I love that. I love that song, Johanna. I think I personally, actually, I don't like country and Western. I'm more of like a, you know, techno kind of guy, but Johanna, that's definitely a really, you know, heart-rending song. It's just, it's a great song.
I do not like country music at all. Sorry, yeah. I just don't. And I, you know, it just, I'm being from Boston, that's just not a big thing out here.
Yeah.
But my husband and I will dance every time to Johanna. It's mm-hmm. It means even more when you know the story behind it and how he wrote that song, which is
right.
just a complete mystery to both him and like everybody else in the world when you talk about it. I've sat down to dinner with him in Cincinnati and said, how the hell did you write that song? When you walk in that place with your wife and conjure up a song about a woman named Johanna, not having a clue that that place had a star named Johanna for many years, working at the Latin Quarters. I mean, it was just amazing. The whole story. You guys know about the legend about the
I don't know the story. I was just going to ask. Why don't you
I'll make it short because I know that we may run over here. Bobby Mackey's original name is Robert Randall Mackey.
Mm-hmm.
That's the name on his birth certificate. That's the name his mother gave him, but they've always called him Bobby, even though it's Robert Randall. Now, the true story, which is documented, there was a woman named Johanna. They can't find her last name. They have suspicions, but it's not. They don't know her last name. They have photographs of her. I've seen many photographs of her at Bobby Mackey's, outside of Bobby Mackey's. So she's a real woman. She, and this is true, she did commit Bobby Mackey's because her father supposedly murdered her lover, who she was 5 months pregnant with and not married to. Did not like the man, did not think he was suitable for her. He was another employee at Bobby Mackey's. This is true.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she was in love with a man named Robert Randall.
Wow.
This was a long time before Bobby Mackey was born. So she's distraught at Bobby Mackey's to this day, supposedly, over her murdered lover named Robert Randall. Well, here you got the real Bobby Mackey, okay, that walks in this place in 1978 on a whim from his real estate agent. Well, he's looking to open a club. It's the former Latin Quarters. It was perfect for him and his wife. He stands there with Janet. He walks up to the stage and starts singing this song, Johanna, and he gets this impression about this woman. And the song, if you listen to it, is about Johanna, Johanna, where are you now? It's about these two hearts that can just never get together.
Yeah.
It's just never going to happen. And it's a heartbreaking song. And if you think about it, you know, you're going back to this weird coincidence of what really went on in the club. You have this ghost haunting the place looking for Robert Randall, mourning the loss of him. And she's dead and he's dead. Nobody knows where they are. And then Bobby walks in and starts talking about this Johanna girl and his wife. It's mentioned in the book. Janet's like, what the hell are you saying? Who's Johanna? He's like, I don't know. It just came in to my head, and it happened to be one of his biggest hits. So he wrote it all down and started performing it, and everybody loved it. So you can rent Hell's Gate, the Bobby Rent. Oh, my God, did I just say that? You can buy the book. It's called Hell's Gate. And it explains this story in further detail. And you know, I've said to Bobby, it's very bizarre. He'll admit it's bizarre, but he doesn't believe that there's anything paranormal about it. Incidents. It's interesting.
Yeah. I'm sorry. We had another lag there. I apologize. I talked over you.
It's all right.
Well, no. What I was going to say is you know, on the Muscles the Ghost Hunter show, that's what I call Ghost Adventures. They caught that great EVP of the woman sobbing. And,
I did too.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay.
Up in the attic. Yeah, we have it too.
Oh, that's great. I mean, that definitely adds some.
Yeah, it's there's something up there. I mean, it's bizarre. You know, they say that supposedly she spent a lot of time up in the catwalk, which we can't defy. I mean, she may have. She definitely didn't write the love poem that they claim she did before she killed herself. I debunked that one. I found evidence that proves she didn't write it, and it's sort of on the down low. I'm not really looking to make any money off that claim.
Well, it's no longer on the down low.
Yeah, I mean, no, I've talked about it once or twice, but I forget about it. It's she didn't write that poem up there. A tech person did, out of boredom.
Oh, okay.
And I handed the evidence over to Bobby Mackey to do whatever they wanted with. I really wanted to steal it, but I didn't feel it was right. They needed to see it and know about it. And, you know, you gotta go there and judge for yourself on what you find and not all the myths and legends and stories that people tell the locals. It's pretty horrifying what some people can come up with, especially if you read the book, but,
go ahead.
This lag thing is really starting to get to me here. No, what I was just going to ask is it true that some guy actually sued Bobby Mackey over, you know, after witnessing a manifestation?
It wasn't a manifestation. It was more of an injury. And yes, it did go to court and it was thrown out because there was no evidence.
Okay.
That is true.
All right.
Supposedly, okay. That came from Bobby's mouth himself. And then the lawyers advised him to post the infamous sign that's still there to this day.
Oh, okay.
That when you walk in, there's a sign above the door that says, this place is reputed to be haunted. If you are damaged or hurt from anything, it's your responsibility when you step foot in the door, basically. It's great.
Hey, Shannon.
Yep.
I want to talk to you about your laser.
Okay, what would you like to know?
I'd like you to tell me about it.
You know, as a guy, the laser thing is totally awesome, but please go ahead.
Yeah, trust me, as a girl, too, it's not so bad. I've always been fascinated by things that light up pretty colors.
Yeah.
I bought this device for my own personal use. I started using it at Fort Mifflin. It was the first place I ever used it. Started realizing that this laser grid that it splashes on the wall. Now, this thing is the size of a regular laser pen that you can buy anywhere. It's not your typical laser pen. It splashes a huge grid pattern on the wall. And I started to learn that I could see shadow figures passing through it very easily, just as the single line laser would work. Except for people were using single lasers going, oh, look, it blipped. But, like, what the hell did you just see? It blocked out, but a single speck of dust can do the same thing. This grid pattern is unmistakable. If you see a shadow passing through it, you know. It goes up to 8 miles. So it's a very, very strong, strong laser that you really can't find many places. And the pattern changes when you rotate the end of it. I began using it. I started selling them. People wanted one. They would buy my own, and I'd have to go buy another, and they bought that one. I bought more and more, and I started selling more and more. It was a complete accident. The laser caught on so much that Rob Demarais wanted some for GHI, so I sent some off to Rob. He gave one to Amy Bruni. They loved the laser. They bought 4 more for Ghost Hunters. They've been using it on the Ghost Hunters episodes. Now it's part of their permanent kit, they call it. And GHI just aired some amazing evidence of the laser in action 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And Ghost Lab has purchased some off of me, and Zach and Aaron and Nick all have one from Ghost Adventures. And it's just really caught on. It was an accident. We have now custom laser tripods for them. So the tripods hold the lasers real still. In places where there's big open areas, when I have people come out to investigate with me, I will anchor a laser in every direction and have everybody sit in the middle of the room and just watch. And especially at Bobby's, I know that name is really like overused tonight, but you can see when everybody sits in the dark, real still and quiet, and just watches. I love it because every time we do this, it's amazing. People shriek because they can see shadow figures darting from all the corners everywhere. That place is really good for shadow figures, especially near the stage and the mechanical bull. That's it. Like, it's amazing. And it's just, they're $30. That's it.
Wow.
And they're on your website, right, Shannon Sylvia?
Yeah, they're on my website, shannonsylvia.com. You click on the equipment page and paranormal equipment for sale. And I've got them up there. I ship them right away. You can use PayPal, and you can order several at... If you order, the more you order, the more of a discount, but people usually just order one. And they're all shipped directly from me, and I test everyone before they go out. They are warrantied for 30 days in case there's anything funky about them. They take 2 AAA batteries, and they'll last you the entire night. It's just such a simple thing, and I'm very proud that people really enjoy the lasers. People that work with them will write me back, oh my God, I love it. Not only does my dog and cat love it, but we just love the way it works on an investigation. you can actually unscrew the cap and use it as a single line. And we've been able to hit major buildings. From Bobby Mackey's, we hit the tower in Cincinnati with it.
Don't shine it in an airplane as it goes by.
Well, we did. Yeah, that's happened before, too. You got to be really careful with that. The FCC will find you, but they're very powerful. It's enough to get you through a major prison or a castle. You'll be fine with it. So that's about it. It's just, again, it was like a toy for me that people were like, wow, what is that? It's cool.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like a rave is going on, you know?
Yeah, they're very cool. They're very cool. So, Shannon, do you have any other projects that you want to talk about real quick? We're going to go to break here in just a few minutes. And then you're going to stick around and do our lightning round discussion tonight, I know.
Yeah, fun stuff. I just have a couple events coming up. We'll be at Bobby Mackey's November 7th and 8th of this year. We do have tickets for sale. Everybody that buys a ticket gets a free psychic reading from the hypnotherapists. And they will be doing a gallery reading for everybody, putting people under hypnosis. That's included. The tickets are at shannonsylvia.com/events.html. And we'll be at Rockwood Mansion, where we got the Shannon Sylvia, We Don't Want You Here EVP. November 20th, that's a prime rib dinner. I'm sorry, filet mignon and chicken cordon bleu dinner, costume party, birthday party, and investigation for $99. at a beautiful mansion. It's so beautiful. This is a complete place where people get married at, and that's in Wilmington, Delaware. And again, that's at shannonsylvia.com/events.html. I'll post it in the chat.
Okay, great.
Great.
There it is.
Thank you.
Yeah, and so you're going to stick around, and we're going to have a little longer lightning round tonight, and Sean B. is going to join us, too, because we're going to be talking some in-depth time-space bending crap. Are you guys looking forward to that? I know Rick is.
Oh, I'm definitely looking forward to looking like a total and complete idiot.
So we're going to go to break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Sure.
Hey, this is Flea, Red Hot Chili Peppers for Rad. I'm here to remind you that drunk drivers are still a major killer of young adults in this country. So always choose a designated driver, and remember, music lives, you should too.
Getting born in the state of Mississippi, Papa was a copper and a mama was a hippie.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ZTalkRadio.com.
Hey, so we're about to have a free-for-all. Let me tell you, we have in our little Skype window that we do this show on, we've got a full house right now because we're doing a little differently tonight. Instead of the lightning round, after I sent my questions off for the lightning round, Chad got in touch with me yesterday and said, we can't do this in one sentence or less.
Yeah.
So we decided to turn it into a discussion. So Cheryl and Chad will be joining us, and then we also have Sean B. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Sean, good. What's up, man? Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, that was the one primary concern I had, was that I was trying to condense everything down to like one paragraph or so.
So I guess it can be a little more of a discussion than we normally do. I'll sort of try to go down the line as I ask each question, but we can also discuss it a little bit if you guys want to too. So are you all ready, Shannon? You ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Did Cheryl send you the questions ahead of time, Shannon?
No.
Oops. Oh, Shannon.
Sorry.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, she's free balling too.
I was supposed to. I'm sorry.
Great. Thanks.
This will be the last time Shannon comes on.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so the first question. Last week, there was an article in the Huffington Post, and it talked about how the past isn't written in stone and is, in fact, observer-dependent. According to the visionary physicist John Wheeler, who's the guy who coined the word black hole, and he was quoted in the article, he says, quote, "The quantum principle shows that there is a sense in which what an observer will do in the future defines what happens in the past. In other words, on a quantum level, there's evidence that what is happening right now determines what happened in our pasts." So my question to you guys is, do you think our pasts are written in stone? And do you think that this actually applies on a macro level as opposed to just a quantum level? We'll start with Sean.
Yeah, there was some experiments that were done that were very much kind of geared in trying to understand that type of dynamic in the 1970s. They were performed by a German scientist by the name of Helmut Schmidt. And what he'd done was basically devised a series of experiments that lasted for about 7 years. And basically what they would do is they would record a tape, they would record a tape on Monday, and it was listened to basically by the subject on, like, Wednesday, with the master copy being locked in a safe the whole duration of the experiment. And just by concentrating, the subjects were able to affect both the number of clicks and on the tape and kind of the length in between the clicks. So this was something that was done, you know, following all the best scientific type protocols, and it had repeatable results. So it would definitely be in line with that idea that we can influence the past by, you know, intent and things of that nature. So it's kind of that perceptual relativity and that idea that we definitely believe. And observer effect are very much tied into how the world operates, and especially the paranormal world on a more macro level, I guess.
But it's just such a mind-blowing concept that what I do now can affect what's in my past, because I tend to think that my past is set in stone. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it happens.
That's an intuitive, you know, that's what would make sense. That would totally make sense, but I guess it's just the butterfly effect on steroids.
So, Shannon, what do you think? This is why I wanted Cheryl to send you the questions in advance.
I'm sorry.
I think Shannon and I are in the same boat.
I mean, I cannot possibly Google quantum physics in the 28 seconds while he was talking. I can't follow that. I mean, I got I caught the words past and set in stone and some black hole dude.
Well, you know, your response could response could be, "Whoa, really?"
Black hole dude sounds like gay porn or something.
That's good stuff.
Jesus Christ. I'm a factual kind of girl, and yes, even psychologists, not even a totally different subject. If you were beaten as a child, you're going to have certain personality traits as an adult. If your parents did drugs and drank, you're likely to become an alcoholic in the future. It's all circumstantial, and that stuff's sort of embedded into your scribable personality as you're growing. So if I'm on the same page as you guys with that, then we'll just leave it at that.
Okay, so Rick, it's your turn.
Yes.
Rick?
That's all I'm going to say, because no, seriously, though. But I'm going to have to agree with Shannon on that, because in psychology, you know, we have the thing called the diathesis stress model, which is, you know, nature and nurture. If you experience, you know, abuse as well as having, you know, the perchance of having a mental illness, that's definitely going to affect everything in your future. So, yeah, I'm going to have to go with Shannon on that.
So you can't undo the past, then, is what the two of you are saying.
No. But you can't undo the past. However, you can do things that will change your future.
Got it. Yep. Okay, Chad.
I don't think you can change the past. You know, what's happened has happened, and the only thing you can do is rewrite the past and make it more towards your liking. But that still doesn't change it.
So you're talking from a perceptual level, how you look at your past.
Yeah.
Okay, so Sean, did you want to interject? Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, for just the concept, I mean, like we were talking about at first, it does seem very far-fetched, because it would seem that the past is the past, and it would be. But, you know, there's some interesting ideas on the idea that maybe consciousness at its purest level is more of a just a here-and-now type of process. It would be probably consistent with, like, shamanic practices and some of these things where you have just time is kind of suspended and it becomes no longer as much a factor. Astral travel, out-of-body, near-death experiences to the experiencer. So it's just something interesting to think about, for sure.
Yeah, so Cheryl, what's your answer?
Oh, boy. I think that I pretty much believe that anything is possible, but I have to say on this one, if we could change the past, we would be doing it in some form, and I don't know. I have a hard time with this one.
That's what she said. Oh, sorry.
All right.
Okay, I actually have a theory, and my theory about it leads to my next question, and of course, as I'm about to read it, my iPad goes dark, so there it is. So what I sort of think is that if our pasts aren't written in stone, then the reason that we could possibly be able to change it is because there are multiple universes where every time we come to a fork in the road where we have choice A or choice B, the universe splits, and now there are two universes, one where we've gone on choice A and one where we've gone on choice B. So given the sheer number of choices, that would mean that there are billions of alternative universes, and this is an easier question. Do you believe in parallel or alternative universes, Sean?
Yeah, for sure. Right now, I'm definitely a subscriber to the whole string. Kind of the idea that the time is a river and it fractures and all those things. And it would definitely have to be something that would be involved, I think, in some of these so-called physiological impossibilities, like your werewolves and your Mothman, things that really couldn't exist in our reality, just given, you know, being a flesh-and-blood type creature that might tie into that whole effect. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, Shannon, what do you think about alternative or parallel universes?
God, I was really hoping he would stupefy that last answer again. I absolutely believe in other things out there. Oh my God, we're just a tiny little galaxy with like millions and billions of others out there. As far as the split, I know what you're talking about. It's like very butterfly effect-ish. You know, I don't think that there's another Shannon Sylvia out there that's doing something else right now. I just don't. I mean, there's never been any proof of this that I know of. How could you even start experimenting with stuff like that to even prove it?
Right.
It's a science fiction question to me. It's way too out there. It's like, you know, an invisibility cloak. Are we ever going to have one? Probably not.
Oh, that'd be cool if we did, though.
Hell yeah.
I'd use it. So, Rick, what do you think?
Well, I think that if there are, you know, parallel dimensions and universes and all that kind of stuff, there's definitely a Rick Hale out there who understands this.
That's right. Well, you know, somebody in chat just said, well, it couldn't be infinite because in all of your lives you'd eventually die. And that's a really good point. It also brings up something else, and I'll just touch on it really briefly. There's something called the granularity of the universe, and there's only so many yes or no questions that you can ask before you get to the absolute maximum that you can get, or the absolute smallest that you can mm-hmm. get. So who are we on? Did we do Rick already?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, well, I didn't do Rick because that would be why his wife is knocked up, not me.
So wow. Can you like revisit the knocked question up. For me?
Well, I want to know if you believe in parallel or alternate universes.
Yes, because I think that's where some of these paranormal events, creatures, what have you, I think that's where they come from.
It's either the alternate universe or, like we talked about, you and I talked about the other day with Cheryl, the folded dimensions, right?
Yeah, or, you know, there's this, it's coming from somewhere, and it's not always present here. So, you know, where does it go when it's not here?
Right. Okay, good answer. So, Cheryl, what do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm down with the folded dimensions or what have you, but the whole parallel alternate universes that you're talking about, I guess, that branch off based on the choices and decisions that we make, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. That one's a hard one to wrap my mind around. How come I keep saying hard one?
I don't know.
All right. Sorry.
Chad, you're in trouble tonight, buddy.
I know. Woohoo! Oh, there is actually an interpretation of quantum physics called the many worlds interpretation, and that's actually what it's based on, is that every time you come to choice A or choice B, the universe splits. So yeah. It's a theory, and you're right, Shannon. How do you test that?
Yeah. You don't. It's nice to think about, though.
Oh, yeah. It's the kind of stuff you lay in bed and think about, and your mind kind of explodes.
No, you do, but we don't.
You know, honest to God, this is so funny. I've been thinking about this crap since I was 6 years old.
Wow.
Isn't that, isn't that, when I was 6 years old, I would lay in bed and I would think about the universe and how it would be infinite and what that actually meant. And I would try to like make my mind go out to what infinite was. And, you know, because what is the universe, a ball hanging in a vacuum or what? So anyway, yeah, so I do think like that. I'm very sorry. So I'll apologize for this next question in advance. Rick is mad at me. Rick, next week, Rick's coming up with the lightning round questions because he never wants me to do this again.
I'm just going to say this. I'm going to throw Rick under the bus right now. I'm watching the Skype chat and he says, Karen, come up with something for those of us who ride the short bus.
That would be my last question is the short bus question. I always throw in either a Twilight or a short bus question just for Rick. Because Rick loves Twilight.
You know, I'm like the Forrest Gump of this show.
I love
That's how I feel tonight.
Yeah, but you make us look so much better, so just keep going.
But look what that cat accomplished, man. He played ping pong with the Chinese, getting medals, getting, you know, he has a life, man. So
that's very
he
true.
Has a life that's a box of chocolates, and so do you. So there you go.
I don't understand quantum mechanics, but I do know about love.
Run for it. Okay, are you guys ready for the next one? I know you are. Really, Shannon, I really, really wanted Cheryl to send you these questions.
Yeah.
Shannon, they always pick on me about Twilight because I hate it so much.
Oh, good.
He loves it. He is on Team Edward.
Oh, God. You know, I finally know what the teams are after I've seen the second one. I haven't seen the third, but they lost me at the second one, so this ought to be a good question.
Okay. All right. So, no, we're not to the Twilight question yet. We're still on the really, really deep philosophical questions that Rick's mad at me about.
Oh,
I know. So the other thing that in this discussion that becomes challenged is the nature of time. So if you can change the past by what you do in the present, like what Sean was talking about with the experiments that they did, do you think that the way that we perceive time as human beings is skewed and that everything actually just happens simultaneously? Is time real? Does it exist, Sean?
Again, you know, since we are talking about the theoretical, this is all basically a big philosophy of BS. So that as being the precursor. I think you can make an argument that Einstein showed that time can be manipulated by the speed and these type things. So I think it's probably on the level we're talking about, maybe a perceptual construct. So I don't think time would really exist in the way we think of it, at least not, you know, in the same capacity.
Sure. What do you think, Shannon?
I'm just going to skip forward to the most of that question. Yes, time exists because we say so. You know, I just like we're the top of the food chain, blah, blah, blah. You kind of lost me in the beginning of that. I don't want to have to ask you to repeat the question because Rick's probably already going to do that. But
I love it.
I think just because it's 4 of 11, my brain is slowly fading. I just got to pass on that one. That you okay. Really officially stumped me.
All right. So, Rick, what do you think? Is time real?
Well, you know, as I said, I think we talked about this previously. As a person who has worked the overnight shift for almost, you know, 20 years, when you're working on shift and that time changes and you're back an hour – man, time is no more real than that. I mean, you just want to get out of there and that time changes. Forget it.
Yeah,
time is real. Time is real.
I hear you. Okay, Chad.
Well, I don't really, I think the only reason that there is time is because, you know, we, you know, humans, we need, our physical bodies need something to basically let us know, you know, when we're born, when we die, you know, when we have to be at work. But I don't think in a true sense, there's such thing as time. You know, I think in spirits, you know, I don't know, cause they're, you know, being eternal, they don't look at it the same way. You know,
right.
Because basically necromancers, you know, back in the day, they were known, basically, they basically raised spirits to tell past, future, or past, present, and future. So this is a concept that's been around for, you know, a long time. And, you know, and yeah, it has. It's been around for a long time. And I don't see how you could put the constraints of time on a spirit, but you got to have it for the physical world because otherwise, you know, we would never get anything done.
Well, according to the Bible, they say there is no such thing as time.
Yeah.
In heaven.
Yeah.
Right.
In heaven, exactly. There's no time. Everything's infinite, like complete happiness for the rest of your no timeless life.
But, well, you know, what is time to a spirit which can't die?
Well, and what if what we're seeing when we see spirits or communicates with spirits is actually just communicating across time? Like if every moment of time is like paper stacked up on one of those spindles, you know, when you're done with the paper, you stick it on one of those pokey spindles. And so all time is those papers stacked up and the spirits just travel across that.
Well, here's another question. If spirits are, you know, if time does not mean anything to them, they're present in all times, you know, at all times. Would the same be said for these parallel universes? Would you as a spirit be present in all these universes at the same time? Would you have an awareness of everything that was going on in all these alternate dimensions that you were a part of?
Yeah, exactly. Since I was 6 years old, guys. I know it. So, Cheryl,
what a nerd.
I know. I wasn't sure if I was a geek or a nerd. I was informed I'm not a dork because that's a whale schlong. But so I'm either a geek or a nerd.
You're lonely.
We're Team Jacob.
Okay, so Cheryl.
Yeah, I think my mind just shut down when Chad was talking, but I'll try and keep it brief and not use the H word this time. I definitely think time is what we make of it. It's, you know, definitely a construct of that we've created. Does that make any sense? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the next thing I'm going to ask, and this is the last of the really deep questions, and that there is a belief and a philosophy out there that what this world that we inhabit and the lives that we're living are just illusions, and that's what's real is what we are beyond the lives that we're living. So I want to know what you think. Is the universe that we inhabit and the perceptions that we have, is it a big old illusion, Sean?
Einstein said reality is an illusion, albeit a persistent one. I probably wouldn't argue with the man. He's got the big brain and the great hair, so I'll go with, reality is kind of the personal perceptual interpretation of what we encounter in consciousness.
Okay.
Kind of looks like Larry Fine on a bender.
So, Shannon, what do you think?
I got to debate that, actually, because I you know, happen with or without you. So why is it all a matter of the state of someone's mind in particular? You know, you had 9/11. I'm just throwing that out there. That happened with or without you or I or any of us in this chat or radio show present on this planet. It would have happened without any of us. So what makes that less real? Because it wasn't in our mind and what we created of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That make any sense?
I think reality is
real. It's what happens. You can't stop it. It's like you can't change the past. It's factual. It's real. It's events that take place. It's things that happen. It's things that are died, born, and created with or without us in our state of mind.
Right. So the belief that everything is a big illusion is kind of what you're saying is it's kind of a self-centered belief where you become the center of the universe.
Right. Yeah. It's very selfish.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Rick, what do you think?
Well, apparently, whoever comes up with these kind of philosophies and questions have never been punched in the face before. Trust me, it's very real, you know, it, you, especially when you feel pain.
Yeah, Chad?
I think we do determine our own reality. Maybe not so much the past, but going forward, you know, it's like basically taking your life in your hands and doing, you know, what you feel like you need to do as far as with your life. But I know where you're coming from. I could go on. I mean, I don't think I have enough time to actually explain the way I feel. So, but yeah, I do believe that we do, in a sense, determine our own reality.
Okay. All right. Cheryl, what do you think?
Yeah, sometimes I think it's all an illusion. Maybe this is kind of related, is that maybe it's constructed as an avenue for us to learn through.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got it.
Yep.
Well, and yeah, go ahead, Sean.
No, I was just saying it was interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's certainly lots of beliefs. What I think about is, as far as whether it's an illusion or not, I think that the way that we filter things and make everything about us, because that's what we do as human beings, it's the way we see things, that's where the illusion is that you and I can have a conversation and walk away from that conversation and have had and understood a completely different conversation. And I think that's where the illusion is that no two people are ever on exactly precisely the same wavelength. So that's kind of my...
This is 20 different reports, yeah.
Right. That's kind of my thought about it. Okay, so short bus, ready?
You guys?
Yeah, the wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round.
So, I saw a news report from Texas, and it showed a group of kids in a high school, and they were calling themselves a wolf pack. They had ears and tails, and they had, like, little werewolf contacts that made their eyes look all weird, and they had fangs. So, this type of style statement that's been influenced by pop culture, movies, and books, like Rick's favorite movie, Twilight, they seem to be more and more prevalent among kids. And so here is my question for you. If you were in high school today, which of today's pop culture icons would you borrow from to define your style? Sean?
I'm actually a high priestess of the Church of Hannah, Montana, so...
Oh! Would you be Billy? would you be Miley, or would you be Billy Ray?
I don't know. My daughter watches it, so... No, probably Sons of Anarchy, because I love my hog, and those guys are cool guys, and, you know, for grooming stuff, so I'll go with that.
All right, so Shannon.
It has to be, like, one of today's pop culture things?
It can be something from the past. Whatever you would style yourself as high school Shannon.
Cross between Sister Mary Catherine Gallagher, and Pretty Woman. You know, you get this train wreck that develops into a beautiful, respected swan. We get a bunch of girls walking around with knee highs and Catholic school uniforms.
Perfect.
Sean likes that too.
Oh my God! Somebody in the chat room just said Dexter. I think it's somebody who's going to Waverly with Cheryl and Chad. Woo-hoo! Okay, Rick, are you ready?
Definitely Fred Flintstone.
Sweet.
I gotta hear the story behind that.
The guy wears no underwear, and he had to kill an animal in order to get that sweet outfit and tie. So there you go.
And his feet come through the bottom of his car when he wants to stop.
There you go.
I really thought it was going to be Napoleon Dynamite for him. He really disappointed me just now.
I love Napoleon Dynamite. So Chad, what do you think?
Nobody helps define me. I define myself.
Oh, okay. All right. So,
wow.
Chad is the anti-establishment high school student. Okay, yeah. Cheryl.
Well, I'm kind of out of the loop these days on what's trendy and what's going on out there. But I guess if I was looking back to when I was actually in high school, it would. Ow. What was that?
That was Rick. Oh, he has to go to work. He was hanging up.
Oh, okay. Sorry. It'd be a cross between, you know, The Cure, Madonna, and Duran Duran, I guess. And if anybody, okay. But I have no current comparison for these musical groups. Sorry.
Yeah, see, I would
the
go with
Flock. Always a good answer.
Yeah.
I would go with Flock of Seagulls hair now just to see if I could pull it off.
Oh, we're going way back. Okay.
All right, you guys. So, they're giving you great suggestions in the chat room as to how you can style yourselves.
Zena.
Woo! So that's it. We're out of time, but I wanted to Shannon, I want to shake you. I wanted to thank Shannon and Sean. I wanted to thank Shannon and Sean.
Shake and bake.
For coming on. Thank you so much, guys, for coming on. And Shannon, thank you so much for putting up with our...
I love you guys.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you again for being... anytime, you know. Not too soon, but anytime.
So not next week. Right. Okay.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
It has. It's been a lot of fun. Okay, so next week, who we have, Cheryl?
Next week, we're going to be speaking with Terry J. Garofalo, and she is a Ghost Hunter comic. You might have seen her work in Paranormal Underground magazine each month. It's called Entities Are Us, Ghost Hunter comic, and she has a new book out as well and is a paranormal investigator to boot.
Awesome. Okay, so next Thursday. Until then, thank you. Good night.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network.